It is time for a wildly, wonderfully wacky Wednesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Beyer, Scott Giese, and you on this middle of the week program. Phone line is open, 814-954-7266. It is opening day eve here at Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Open day eve.
That's right. Opening day eve.
I'm not familiar with this holiday.
Set your hot dogs out by the door so that the great baseball claws can consume ahead of time. A little disappointing showing last night. We'll get to that in the sports segment.
Uh-oh.
A little bit later this morning.
Oh, that's not good.
All right. Oh, Giese wins because I overestimated.
Well, it was...
I had high hopes.
No, I didn't...
High hopes for you, and you folks let me down.
I didn't go to the game. I wish I could have. Penn State needs to do Bark in the Park. All right, so I can bring my dog sometime on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's got to be on a Tuesday because for some reason that's the only time you're supposed to do Dollar Dog Night. It's only on Tuesdays. Yeah, okay, whatever. But I was out last evening. I'm like, woo, it's awfully windy and it's getting cold. I think that scared some people away. So unfortunately, your dog prediction just crash and burn. Sorry. I win.
Forget about it.
What do I win?
Forget about it.
I win a hot dog. All right, we got a busy show. We're going to have some fun later this hour. Our friend Steve Samsel from Penn State is going to join us about a Hall of Fame vote that is going on right now. All right, and they need your vote. All right, but only, I think, for a few more days for the Penn State Sports Hall of Fame. Now, one of my questions for Steve is going to be, why haven't you guys done this before? This should have been done like years ago, for goodness sakes. But Steve's going to join us later on this hour. We're going to find out about this vote, maybe like who's on the list. How do you find the vote? You know, it's done online. You know, all that stuff. Because I know they've got I have already voted, but I know they've got a deadline coming up, might be Monday, 31st. So we'll get more information from Steve on that later on. That just, if you're a Penn State fan, come on, you got to vote. All right, you got to vote for a certain, you only get a certain number. There's a big long list of names, and then you put in your vote, and then we'll find out what happens when the voting closes. I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have that later on this hour. And we'll have some open line time in the next hour. We're going to go back to one of our favorite lines. It's interesting what causes a controversy because we have several to discuss. Several. So get ready for that. Folks, it is spring. And in the last day...
Spring
has sprung. In the last day or so, I've received multiple messaging that spring is indeed here.
Oh, yeah?
Here's number one.
All right.
And this was on the drive into the studio this morning. Again, I live out in Penns Valley in the country and so on. And at one point, I look up, and there they are, my friends, the geese. All right? The geese are flying back in their, you know, famous V formation and so on. Now, with my last name, Geese, I have a special affinity for geese. All right.
V for victory.
V for victory. And a little earlier in my drive, now this is true. Geese never fly alone. They don't.
I don't think that's true.
It is true. Okay. So earlier in my drive, I just left my house. I'm driving in, and I look over, and here are two geese flying kind of low. And I'm thinking, okay, one of them had to drop out of formation because, you know, geese are birds. Birds get tired like the rest of us. And at some point, if a goose, like, I need to take a break or something like that, they fall out of formation. At least one other goose falls out of formation with them. And then they, you know, land and get a drink or take a break or whatever till they're feeling okay. And then
lay a golden egg, whatever.
Now that would be cool.
Uh-huh.
Frankly, today laying any kind of egg as long as it's free would be great.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, that would be, you know, have you been to the store lately? Prices are getting better, but still it's got a ways to go.
Why are the geese always so impatient? They're always honking at each other. Just relax. Lots of room there in the,
It's like if you go to a sports game and people are cheering, that's inspirational. Well, for geese, that's honking. Okay? They inspire each other by honking. You didn't know that?
It was a little disappointing. It just reminds me on the after the NCAA Wrestling Championships on Saturday night, they have a reception for the team with the Penn State Wrestling Club. And here's Luke Lilidahl. I know he was the one seed, and he finished third. That's still, as a true freshman, a remarkable accomplishment. But I bring him up, and everybody's, boo! Boo!
What?
Yeah, it was outrageous. What's that? Oh, a friend of mine is texting. Oh, they were saying Luke. Oh, that makes a lot more sense now. I thought they were being very harsh on the freshman. Luke, not boo. Got it. Thank you. Never mind. Carry on.
Okay. How long you been the announcer?
What?
Too long? All right. Now, this next one, folks, this is humbling, okay? And I heard this a few weeks ago, and I just kind of put it away. I saw it again this morning. When I first, you know, get up this morning, like a lot of other people, if I get up a little early, grab the phone, okay, what happened overnight, you know, all that stuff, you know. And so I saw this story again, and I just thought, really? There is some research out there that was, I don't have it in front of me, like where, you know, I'm not sure exactly where it came from. You know, as we get older, you know, we start to slow up, you start to lose muscle, you know, all that negative stuff. You get arthritis and whatever, blah, blah, blah. According to this research, there are two particular ages on average that when you hit that age, you start to go down the drain. Not down the drain, but you start to go down, okay? On average, if you hit, when you hit these two ages, you start to go down. The two ages are when you turn 44 and when you turn 60. Now, you haven't even hit 60 yet, but I have.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Allegedly, according to this research, when people hit 44, for whatever reason, they start to go down. And then when they get to 60, they start to go down. By the way, I'm pushing 62 right now, so this is not good. Now, how can you test to see if this is true? There is a simple test.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Now, I'm being legit here. They're, according to these researchers, all right? The simple test is, how long can you stand on one leg? So, in other words, you're standing there and you lift one foot. And so you're standing on one leg. How long can you stand on one leg? Now, younger people, all right, I don't know, think teenagers, college students, people in their 20s, they can stand on one foot and probably stand and stand and stand and stand and stand and stand, and they're fine. And they could probably do it on the other foot or the other leg, all right? When we get older, well, I took my guy Domino out this morning to do his biz in the pitch dark early this morning, and I just thought, okay, let's try this. Now, I'm out in the yard. In my yard, I don't have a nice, like, flat yard, okay? I just don't. It kind of goes up and down and whatever. So maybe it was the yard, maybe it was the shoes I was wearing, but I think I started on my right foot, and I'm holding on one leg, and immediately I'm like, oh boy. I couldn't hold it for more than about 2 or 3 seconds. So, okay, let's try the other leg. So I try it on my left foot, try it on my left leg, lift my right leg. I'm standing on one leg. Uh-oh. Folks, I've not been drinking. Uh-oh.
So you claim.
Not at that hour of the morning. Give me a break.
So you claim.
And I'm thinking, oh, man, are you kidding? So later on, I'm in the house, all right, obviously, you know, showering up, getting ready, and all that sort of thing. Now, I'm on a nice flat floor.
Uh-huh.
And no shoes. So I thought, all right, let's try this again. So on the right foot, I hold it. Now, this time, I held it pretty well. All right, not for a long time. Switched over to my left foot, left leg. Did better than I did when I was outside. All right, still not stupendous. Mm-hmm. So, folks, there's something to try today at home, at work, wherever you are, especially, apparently, if you're either over 44 or especially if you're over 60. Do the one-leg test and see how long you can hold your balance. If you can do it a long time, yay, round of applause for you.
Bravo.
If it's
bravo.
Only 2 or 3 seconds...
Forget about
welcome
it.
To the club. It's like, oh man, it's like, seriously? Oh, do I need reminders that I'm getting older? Maybe. Okay, so it's an interesting, try it. Try it sometime today. And maybe try it with shoes on, and then just try it, you know, just your feet. And I don't know, see if there was, maybe there's a difference. Then you can blame the shoes. That's what I did this morning.
Always it was blame the shoes.
Bad shoes. Okay. All right, what else do we have? Okay, here's this one.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun. What are the best potato chips out there? The best potato chips.
This is actually fairly easy.
Oh?
Okay. Middlesworth barbecue.
Oh.
Next.
Well,
you got any tougher questions for us this
morning?
Some
people would disagree with you.
Well, no, it's fine. People can be wrong. But those of you that wanted the right answer, I thought you were looking for the right answer.
Well,
I was just giving you the right answer. Oh, the right answer
thank you.
Is Middlesworth barbecue.
I appreciate
potato chips.
I like those.
Next.
I appreciate that greatly.
Yeah, very, very, very easy call.
Now, again, this is out there, and I don't know why exactly. Pennsylvania is like the snack capital of America. I don't know why, but we are. Potato chips, pretzels.
We are snacktastic here in Pennsylvania.
And I don't honestly know why. There are so many potato chip and pretzels and I don't know, some
we
other
just have
snack.
A knack for snacks.
Oh, that's very
just
very,
the way we are.
Very good. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I came across this story. All right, here's my proof. The best potato chips. Now, first off, this is from the New York Times. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. We're going to get the big city. We're going to get the
New
big
York
city
Times.
Version. The big
Come
city
on.
Version of the best potato chips. All right.
All right.
So a writer or somebody has put together a group of taste testers. All right.
And was I not included in this?
I'm sorry. You're not on the signal list. We'll save that for later.
Very disappointing.
They should have put you on the signal list.
They should have.
They didn't.
Indeed.
So apparently this group, now this was just potato chips. All right, not pretzels and stuff, just potato chips.
Okay? All righty then.
And so they tried, according to the story, they blind tasted. So in other words, you can't see which one it is. So they put a blindfold on you, and you eat the chip and so on. They tested over 70 kinds of plain salted potato chips, regular chips, kettle fried chips, rippled, you know, ridges chips, fried in everything, tallow, allegedly becoming popular,
uh-huh.
Shortening, lard, olive oil. So in other words, these folks tried all sorts of different chips, familiar names you've never heard of, Some Pennsylvania ones. I saw Middlesworth.
Yeah.
Martins. Now, I've got a sort of a personal connection to Martins. They're based down in York County.
Yeah.
Hers, H-E-R-R, Hers yeah. Chips. There's two Snyders. There's Snyders of Berlin, PA, and there's Snyders of Hanover, PA. But they're both named Snyder. And so if you see their bags, it says Snyders of Berlin or Snyders of Hanover. Two totally different companies. All right? And so they tried all those out, along with some other ones, with their taste testers. How many taste testers did they have? I think it was 26 taste testers.
Ooh.
Now, the question is, where are these people from? This is New York Times. If this is like 26 people from Brooklyn, okay, I'm not sure if I necessarily buy this, okay? I don't think they have Middlesworth in Brooklyn. They got Middlesworth here, not in Brooklyn. Now, I don't know where the taste testers came from. Doesn't say that. But when I started reading the results, I'm like, okay, come on, are you kidding me? So, for instance, the best, according to these people, the best plain potato chip. Now, not like barbecue or anything.
Well, when you say plain
potato chip, according to these people, is Amazon Fresh Classic Potato Chips. I'm thinking, oh, come on. The best potato chip is from Amazon? I'm going to order potato chips from Amazon.
That's outrageous.
And that would be the only way to get them. So, in other words, you can't get them in a store. You'd have to order them from Amazon, like, you know, your shoes and clothes and other stuff that you get. But these people, oh, they just gushed about Amazon Fresh Classic Potato Chips. One person says, I could eat a lot of these. They're great with dip. Okay, very nice.
Got to dip it up.
Now, again, this is a research study, so you need to make it sound good, all right? So I'm reading here. Tasters praise these chips' light golden color and a sturdiness that held up to dipping.
Oh, very sturdy.
It's a potato chip. What the heck? All right, the best kettle chip. All right, now that's, like, done differently. It doesn't say where this one comes from. Deep River Snacks, original sea salt kettle cooked potato chips. Mm. You ever heard of that one?
No.
Deep River. It's not from Pennsylvania, as far as I know. I don't know where this one's from. Wherever it's from, but these people just gushed about this particular chip. The best wavy chip, all right, Ridges and all this stuff. Now, you've heard of this one, according to these folks. And it's Lay's, just a national brand. Lay's Wavy Original Potato Chips.
They're pretty good.
Crunchy, clean, and a fantastic dipper.
I will agree on that.
So you got to be able to dip.
Yeah, right? That's right. A good call.
Now, at least that's one you can go buy in a store.
Yeah.
All right, you can go to Walmart, Target, whatever. You can buy that one in a store. Let's see. Those were the three main categories. Then they have the runners-up. And the runners-up, it's like, are you kidding? Great Value Original Potato Chips. That's a Walmart chip.
That's a surprise.
No offense to Walmart.
Well, that seems like you're going to offend Walmart.
Well, I'm not trying to, but come on. That's the runner-up with regular chips?
I thought you were going there.
Okay. Then there's Clancy's Original Potato Chips. Now, if you're not familiar, you haven't been to an Aldi store. That's one of the big brands in an Aldi store. All right? Clancy's is supposed to, and I'm thinking, okay, the plain Jane versions are the best potato chips out there. I had to really dig to get down to Utz chips. Yes, Utz. Now, there's a Pennsylvania brand, okay? Utz Original Potato Chips. It says dark, noticeably less salty, great for dipping. Okay, cool. You're making a face.
I don't think they're as good. I don't.
Really?
I like the chips, but I don't think that's as good of a dipping chip.
Lay's Kettle Cooked Potato Chips was a runner-up. Now, again, Lay's is a national brand. I had to really dig down. Here's Hers.
Got to dig down deep.
Hers Original Kettle Cooked Chips was a runner-up. It says they're like an oven-baked French fry. Mm. French fries. Oven-baked French fry. Now, this is a big, I'm going to stop right there because this is like a big, long story, and they talk about all these different chips. And just what drove me crazy is a lot of the top chips, according to these experts, are ones from Walmart or Aldi. In other words, these plain Jane national brands, no offense, they didn't have good things to say about Middlesworth.
Boo.
Yeah, boo. And they didn't have good things to say
losers.
About Martin's. Boo.
Losers. Okay.
And Utz made it a couple of listings. So again, just if you want to look this up, man, maybe do a website search. This is from the New York Times. What?
I thought they went by Utz.
Well, I've always pronounced it Utz. Now, it depends where you're from.
You say Utz. Okay. I say Utz. Let's call the whole thing.
See, now, Utz. All right. We'll go with Utz.
Yeah. I thought that's what it was.
With Utz. Okay. I know Utz. New York City is a big market for Utz because I assume it's still there. If I watch a New York Yankees baseball game on TV, and let's be honest, half of their games are on national TV because they're the Yankees. If you're a Yankees fan, okay. But, you know, in the outfield, they got the big signs with, you know, advertisers and so on. Utz always has a big, big sign, like on the outfield wall or outfield area of Yankee Stadium. I know that New York City is a big, big market for them. Probably not for Middlesworth or Martin's. So if they tried, they would probably impress these New York Times people to get them higher on their best chips list. So, folks, you be the judge. Now, when we have open line time, which is going to be in the next hour, because we have sports and then we have a guest, you want to call in, we'll remind you, favorite potato chip. What is your favorite potato chip? So save that thought, because we have to take a break right now.
Yeah.
Save that thought, and we will take your responses coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Okay. Again, trans fats are not allowed anymore. Martin's chips were really good. The problem is they had trans fat. Now, you had to get rid of the trans fat. That was a mandate. Frankly, they're not quite as good now as they used to be. Anyway, one man's opinion. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, we got a lot of sports stuff. Are you kidding me?
Woo!
And a lot more when Let's Talk continues in a bit.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com.
Let's go, Mike!
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutchen has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese. We'll have some open phone time coming up a bit later, and we'll tell you who should be in that first Penn State Hall of Fame class.
Oh.
I know who should be there.
Oh, you should be.
Help
okay.
you out with that. We'll get into that discussion with Steve Samsel coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Today.
No, actually, he's going to join us at 8:40.
Oh, 8:40
or 8:45.
8:40, 8:45 today.
That one, yes. Okay.
The Penn State baseball team falling 9-2. They fell 9-2. That was the score of the game to Pitt yesterday at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Game was even at 2-2 going into the seventh, but the Panthers broke the game open with 5 runs in the inning. Penn State falls to 16-8 on the season. Pitt, improves to 15-9. Also disappointing. I mean, come on, hot dog consumers at Penn State. What are you doing? The third dollar dog night of the year. 2,822 fans turned out. Now, I will say, 2,822 fans, you consumed 6,733 hot dogs. That's a pretty good ratio.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Very good ratio. I thought we would have a few more folks turning out for the game. I thought, I missed it by about 1,000. I thought there would be 7,863 dogs consumed. Mr. Giese also thought they would go over 7,000. He had 7,082. Again, in actuality, 6,733 hot dogs consumed, and for the week, winning the coveted mustard packet, Scott Giese,
ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
There is your mustard packet.
You.
Enjoy it.
Okay.
Skip Schinosky made his fourth start of the year for the Nittany Lions. He worked 5 innings, did not eat a single hot dog during the game, allowing 2 runs on 4 hits and 2 walks while striking out 4. Penn State, offensively led by Paxton Kling again, he hit his 10th home run of the season. That was a solo shot in the opening inning. Ryan Weingartner had an RBI single. Joey DiMucci had a single and a run scored. Penn State was scheduled to take on Bucknell today. That is not happening today. That game has been postponed due to the anticipated cold weather. A new date for that game is yet to be set. Belfont softball winning its home opener yesterday, defeating Tyrone 9-5. Elena Smith went 3-for-4 with a couple of RBI to lead the offense. Jaylee Lose added 3 hits and an RBI. Brooke Swanger with a couple of hits and a couple of RBI. Adrian Masolo getting the victory, allowing 3 runs on 6 hits over her 5 innings of work. James Franklin held a press conference yesterday as the Nittany Lions open up spring practices. There will be a blue-white game, as had been confirmed earlier. I did say there will be some modifications this year, probably not much of a halftime. The game will not be televised. And again, the plan is to make the game a little shorter this year. Wants to have it because he understands the importance of that weekend. I think for the local economy as well as just the interest of the fans, they like to get a glimpse of the team and make their projections for the upcoming season and all of that. Did say also factoring into it for this year was Jim Knowles and the new defensive coordinator and just letting him get a little familiar with game day operations at Beaver Stadium, so that that will be helpful in that regard as well. Lots of good competitions that will be occurring in spring drills, some new faces at wide receiver, good competitions at some of the linebacker spots, and again, all of that will be shaping up here over the coming weeks. On Saturday, the Pittsburgh Wrestling Classic will be held. A couple of Penn State recruits will be competing against a couple of Oklahoma State recruits in the matchup. Nate Desmond, Penn State recruit at 127, will take on Ronnie Ramirez out of California heading to Oklahoma State. And State College's own Asher Cunningham, the two-time PIAA state champion, will take on Ladarian Lockett, who hails from Minnesota and is heading to Oklahoma State. That event, again, is Saturday in Pittsburgh and will get underway at 6 o'clock. There will also be an early card that will get underway at 3 o'clock. Penn State officially learning that it does have two finalists for this year's Hodge Trophy, which is, in essence, the Heisman Trophy of college wrestling. Mitchell Messenbrink and Carter Storace are two of the finalists for the award, along with Wyatt Hendrickson, the heavyweight from Oklahoma State, who, you know, won the national title, beat some fellow by the name of Gable Steveson finals on Saturday night. Lady Lion basketball team guard Mariah Murray has reportedly entered the transfer portal. To my knowledge, first reported by On3. Murray joining, I think now, four other Penn State women's basketball players in hitting the portal for the upcoming year. And so, really, both basketball teams are going to be undergoing pretty substantial makeovers from this past season to next year, and we'll just have to wait and see how it all shakes out. And by the way, this is going to be a more common thing, maybe not quite to the degree that these two programs will have this year, but you're seeing this all throughout college athletics where and Penn State wrestling is several individuals have entered the portal there. As again, you see the competition start to shake out for different starting roles, or you feel like a program is heading one way or another. Again, this is going to be an increasing until they get some sort of a handle on this, and I think that will happen. There will be this is my projection now. I think there will be some guidelines put in place, and they're going to get some parameters put in. They also have got to figure out, again, we're into the opinion part of the sports here. They have got to get figured out the transfer portal times. The fact that you have during the NCAA basketball tournament, while the tournament is going on, players who are playing right now saying, oh yeah, by the way, I'm not going to be here next year. I am going to be going somewhere else. Folks, this is insane. And not the fault of the kids, by the way. There are some people that, man, you kids, this is what they have set up, they being the NCAA. This is they don't really have a choice here. If they want to hit the portal, this is, they've got to get a better handle on it and figure it out. And we'll see. Again, so many moving parts right now in college athletics, but they've got to get better windows for the portal, and they've got to get some parameters put in place. In particular, even more so now because of the money involved. You have schools that are committing so much money to these guys above and beyond the scholarship and all of it. Speaking of scholarships, St. Francis announced yesterday, if you remember a week ago, St. Francis men's basketball makes the NCAA tournament, just the second time in program history. St. Francis goes to the Division I men's basketball tournament, and less than 2 weeks later, no chance of that happening again, because St. Francis is going D3. They're dropping from Division I to Division III across the board with their athletics program, meaning no scholarships to St. Francis. Just read an article as we were coming back from Nationals on, and again, it was somebody just kind of speculating on the future here, but I think they were pretty accurate, and we've been saying this for a while. I think you're going to see a lot of programs with the money that is now involved making the decision, if not to drop all the way down to D3, to go to D2, to decrease the pressures on NIL, on even the scholarship with the increases now. And I think you're going to see fewer schools almost across the board, and I think probably across the board, like take out the almost. I think every non-football and basketball sport, and probably even football and basketball, you're going to see fewer programs. Now, I think you could see, you know, some may, it may be 5 to 10 programs that drop down or drop out. Some, I think you're going to see substantial drops in terms of the number of schools participating. I think those that are still in the various sports are, for the most part, going to be quote-unquote all in, and you'll have very competitive, fewer programs, but competitive. Think men's gymnastics, men's volleyball right now. Like, you're getting the best of the best. Like, even the worst teams in those sports, like, there are some athletes there that are like, whoa, that dude is next level good. I think that's going to happen, but I think the opportunities across the board are going to be fewer in terms of earning Division I scholarship opportunities for high school athletes.
Well, that St. Francis announcement was interesting.
Yes.
Do you have any connections with Rob Krimmel? I'd love to get some comments from him, because he just led his team to the NCAA tournament, and that's it.
And that is, yep.
Boom, pull the plug.
Yep.
I mean,
across
that was
the board.
Like, excuse me? Like, yeah. Wait a minute. Penn State didn't make the NCAA tournament. St. Francis did. It was in a play-in game.
Yep.
But they're in, and then just done.
Yep.
It was like, whoa.
And again, just the second time in pro, you're like, man, we're making history.
Here we go.
What a moment.
Boom.
And then no more.
Done.
Also, Penn State football. Multiple reports saying that David Davis, a three-star athlete in the class of 2026, has become the ninth commitment for Penn State football's class of 2026. He's out of Imani Christian Academy in Pittsburgh, 5 feet, 10 inches tall, 180 pounds, ranked as the 12th player in the state of Pennsylvania, and the 25th best athlete in the country, according to the 247 Sports composite rankings. So a good get there for the Nittany Lion football team, as, again, they get underway with spring practices and all of the excitement surrounding that. Penn State Wrestling did get some more good recruiting news yesterday as well. Flow Wrestling Their number four overall prospect in the class of 2026, Jaden James, a lightweight, announcing that he has changed his commitment from Virginia Tech originally to now Penn State. He won the 150-pound state championship in New Jersey. He is a two-time under-16 national champion. And, again, makes the announcement that he is going to be coming to Penn State here as part of the class of 2026. So, finally, it looks like Penn State will get some talent in that wrestling room. Good news.
Thank goodness. So
they finally.
That's about time.
Get a little.
Pass the soy sauce.
Little competition in that room for a change or something like that. Did you hear the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to be airing right here on this radio station this season? I should have put a promo together and, we should have played it.
That's starting next
maybe
month.
Maybe next year.
That's
we'll,
next month, right?
That.
Starting next month.
It's tomorrow. I wanted it to be today, but Scott insisted that no, Thursday does not follow Tuesday. No. So apparently they're just going to wait until tomorrow.
Yep.
4:10 will be the first pitch down in Florida. 3:40 will be the airtime here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And we, all of us, are looking forward
Mr.
Giese.
Yeah,
we're very, very excited.
Okay.
In hockey, the Lightning beat the Penguins 6-1.
Just end it.
Can we just get to the end of the season? And the Flyers, I mean, what a collapse. This has been 7-2, the Maple Leafs beating the Philadelphia yesterday as well. It has just been... the term I would use would be brutal to be a Penguins fan this season. But, you know, you have the high hopes of the Pirates, and with all of the off-season moves and the big-name free agent signings and the commitment to, by God, we're going to go win a championship since we have Paul Skaines, it just gets you all fired up, doesn't it? Phillies, by the way, will open their season tomorrow as well. That'll be a 4:05 first pitch. Yeah, they had to be 5 minutes earlier than the Pirates. Fine.
Right.
They will take on the Nationals in our nation's capital. Again, that'll be a 4:05 start tomorrow for the Phillies. Is it just me, or do hopes seem to be running a little higher in Philadelphia surrounding their Major League Baseball team?
They're not doing bad.
In the upcoming season.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, the now former Steelers quarterback, has reached an agreement with the New York Giants. Well, you go have fun with
good
that.
Good luck with that.
That does seem to leave Aaron Rodgers with pretty much one option at the moment, anyway, if he wants to play next season, and but still, they have apparently not come to terms, and so
the NFL draft is in 4 weeks.
Yes, yes, it is.
This is all going to wait till after the draft.
Starting to look that way, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. This is. this is just ridiculous at this point. Like,
Mason,
but the problem is, okay, yes, options are dwindling substantially here for Aaron Rodgers. The issue is the options for the Steelers are also dwindling to just about nothing else now. All of these other potential, they could fall back on Jameis Winston. Well, nope. You still have Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Nope. It is pretty much now Aaron Rodgers or a first-round draft pick and Mason Rudolph. That's where you're at. That is not a great spot for the Steelers right now. So we'll see how all that plays out. I don't even... pretend to know or understand what
he's
is going
speechless,
on in
ladies
terms
and gentlemen.
Of why
he doesn't know what to say.
They can't come to an agreement. Clearly, one or both sides just not completely sold on the other. But again, as you're looking at it right now, it's like, well, is Pittsburgh, the Steelers. Like it's either Aaron Rodgers or you're in pretty dire straits. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, it's like, well, it's either the Steelers. So why aren't they getting this deal done? We will be back with much more. It is our Wednesday edition. Steve Samsel will join us, we think, on the other side of this break.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dodder Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Steve Samsel joins us in studio this morning. We will have some open phone time coming up a bit later. First of all, Mr. Samsel, thanks for taking the time. Always good to see you, man.
You as well. Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome, good morning. Man. Good morning. Scott always likes to ask, give us a little background, introduce yourself for folks that that don't know who you are, and I feel like most in our audience probably have a pretty good feel.
I wear a lot of hats. My full-time job is at Penn State as a PR guy for the College of Communications, the Belisario College. I'm a recovering sports writer, worked at the CDT, worked in Pittsburgh for 10 years, and I'm here today, I guess, wearing a hat where I do a blog and a podcast with a young Penn State alum who's as old as one of my daughters. It's called Stuff Summers Says, S-T-U-F-F, Summers, S-O-M-E-R-S, Stuff Summers Says. I reached out to him during the pandemic and said, hey, Darren, have you ever done a podcast? Like, what would you think? And he's like, with who? I'm like, what about me? Like, you know, and we kind of just have had fun for the past 5 years of sports businessy stuff, Penn State off-field stuff, media stuff, like Penn State from that perspective, which is what we enjoy and is kind of a fun way to look at it. And our latest endeavor, our first time, is as a Penn State Sports Hall of Fame. Like, who would be in it? If you had to, there's not one. But who'd be in it if you had a chance to name it? We asked our people, and we got nominations. We have 40 nominations now. You have until March 31st to vote online and to get us down to 15, and that will be the inaugural class, air quotes, in the Penn State Sports Hall of Fame.
You know, it is interesting. As I was going through, we were just kicking this around a little bit, coming back from Philadelphia, on the names that are out there and the legacies that are out there. I mean, the difficulty, and listen, we have this. I'm on the very fortunate to be on the board for the Center County Sports Hall of Fame. And honestly, the toughest thing about that is, like, there are, and I'm not exaggerating, there are literally hundreds of people that I'm like, well, they need to be in. It's like, well, we can't inaugurate hundreds in the annual classes. And it's like, all right, so you're trying to narrow it down. Honestly, like, if you just start with the history, obviously Penn State football, many very familiar with. But when you start going through the history of, like, men's gymnastics here at Penn State, it is unbelievable. Track and field, and Barney Ewell, if Ewell is not, I know he's in the list of finalists, if he is not one of then it's just because of ignorance, and I mean that in the truest word, like, people just don't know. Cause, and if you don't know, you ought to go back and look up, because Lou Prado, who unfortunately we lost way too soon and probably should be on the list here in future classes for sure. I know Fran Fisher is on this year's class, but Lou, in terms of a contributor to Penn State and somebody that just knew the ins and outs. But Lou said, listen, Barty Ewell, like, think Jesse Owens, and that's Barney Ewell. Like, that dude was crazy, crazy good. And if you don't know the history there of Barney Ewell, worth looking up, because he was a special individual. But then you start going through, again, women's volleyball, women's soccer, obviously wrestling. Getting to 15 is insane.
No, it's 31 varsity sports, and they've been competing since the 1800s, right?
Yeah.
And the genesis of this actually was a class assignment. I teach a 400-level sports communications class, so sports PR. And I needed a final project last fall. I'm like, what could we do? What could these?
Yeah,
so we did the Sports Hall of Fame. And so they came with names, and they had, there was a lot of recency bias there, right? There was none of the old folks, right? So yep. I went back and we educated. But the challenge is, okay, what's the number? And they kind of got us this 15 number through their work, because if you have to have an event, right? How many people can you induct? Is there a public event? Is there a private event? Where is it at? Like, so for those students, that's the final project. Soup to nuts.
Love
give
it.
Me like an 8-page thing. And one kid actually used it for a job interview as a presentation for the Eagles or the Pirates. Like, here's one of the things I did with my work, right?
Wow.
And so
I love it.
It's been good that way. So we just build it out from Darian. And there's certainly some people missing, and 15 is not going to be enough, but it's a fun thought exercise, and it's fun, as opposed to,
it
hey,
is.
I don't like you, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Now, there are some rules, right, Steve? If someone goes online, we'll tell you how to do that, to vote. There are some rules. That
no active coaches is the big rule, right? So when Kale says he's done, he's going in the next day, right? Like, for the people to look at this list, they're going to...
I was wondering.
Yes. No active coaches, and student athletes had to be 4 years out, I think is what we said. So that gets some of the recency bias out for some folks. And then the nominations, yeah, there's a problem. I mean, I think the 2012 folks have said, hey, why nobody from 2012 for football, right? Like, in terms of saving the program. And I get that, but maybe foundationally there's some other stuff before that. And maybe Susan Robinson on this list, right? In terms of, we have Susie, we have Kelly for basketball. And I think that's your view on it. When I was a student, Susie McConnell was the best basketball player on campus, male or female. No doubt about it.
Yes.
And Kelly's group sold out the Jordan Center, right?
Yeah.
So there's two different ways to look at it. And Susan was the national player of the year, right? So it's just, and that's just that sport, along with 30 others.
Yeah. And listen, Khadijah Herbert, I mean, you start going through, again, you could do it with each of these sports to probably come up with 15 and have trouble even whittling that down. So it is fun. I think, for me, some of the, like, Joe Paterno, whatever you think, and if you think negatively, you need to do more research. But
class.
Yeah.
That, when they went through the thought exercise of when can a student be eligible, okay, it's 4 years. What about coaches? Sure, coaches are eligible. And they talked through, and I waited a couple beats, and then the light bulb started going off, and they said, well, what about Coach Paterno? I'm like, well, what about? Like, what do you mean? Right? And from the PR perspective and what they've heard, they're like, well, how do we? I'm like, okay, this is part of your assignment then.
Yeah.
It's part of your assignment. You're going to write a press release. You're going to bias everybody and maybe give your person talking points about why this was selected to prepare your executive or whoever your spokesperson is. So it was great. Yes, no doubt he's there. but maybe part of the reason, and I don't know because I'm not close enough to athletics, but I think I've heard that this went down the path in real life, and part of it was transition of administrations, what do we do with Joe, and it just didn't happen in a class. I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, to me, Barney Yule and Joe Paterno are the most obvious must-haves. Gene Whetstone would be pretty high next on that list to me. Would be a have to in that that inaugural 15. I guess, do you want to go through the list? I know it's you can get it online.
It's online. So there's, I think there's 40 from A to W. So Jesse Arnell, LeVar Arrington, Horace Ashenfelter, Saquon Barkley, Joe Bautista might be recency biased there. He called the complaint about not being there. Didn't think he should be. Taylor Battle, Todd Blackledge, John Capoletti, Kajana Carter, Shane Conlon, Barney Yule, Nicole Fawcett, Candy Finroca, Fran Fisher, Harry Groves, Jack Ham, Micah Hancock, Krister Armato, Franco Harris, Megan Hodge, Allie Krieger, Levi Lamb, Kelly Mazzani, Susie McConnell, Carrie McCoy, Char Moret, Alyssa Nair, Bo Nichols, Micah Parsons, Joe Paterno, Paul Posluszny, Zane Rutherford, Raquel Rodriguez, Russ Rose, Ed Ruth, David Taylor, Blair Thomas, Wally Triplett, Kurt Warner, and Gene Whetstone. And we're going to get down to 15.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to think about. Even running backs, like the students were very Saquon. I'm like, you know who else has played running back at this place, right? No disrespect to Saquon, but go ahead and make me a Mount Rushmore of running backs, and you can make an argument that maybe you can't make a strong argument that Saquon doesn't make the list. But some older people might say, really? So that's what – it's fun. And I hope people embrace it and engage it. And if we can facilitate a little enjoyment, that's part of it. That's just – we do this just for kicks, and if we can provide some enjoyment for people, that's wonderful.
Yeah. No, it's a cool exercise. It's a cool opportunity.
So where do you find this, Steve?
So online, it's Stuff Summer Says, StuffSummerSays.com, or Steve Samsel on Twitter and Facebook, and I've shared it out there. Share it with friends and family. You can vote till March 31st. Darian, whose real job is in paid social media, neither one of us is an accountant, but he's got a spreadsheet set up, so hopefully he'll count the votes, and if we have a lot to count, that would be a great problem.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, then what happens after March 31st?
Darian's a pretty creative dude. I think we're going to have a part of the website. I wouldn't be surprised if he found a way to like take pictures of them and make little online busts, right?
Yeah,
and this, and they would have, we would have a little Penn State Sports Hall of Fame, and then we'll revisit this next year with a second class of maybe 10 or whatever that number is that we come up with. So I think as long as we just haven't stopped having fun with this, and if it's there and it sparks an idea in reality for someone, great. But I assume I'd be shocked if Darian doesn't have a Hall of Fame up and we roll out online in a couple weeks after this is over.
This belongs over at the All Sports Museum. There's got to be some display in there.
Yeah, well, this isn't an official Penn State thing, but maybe from your mouth to God's ears. And because I think it's a positive thing. It's a fun thing. It's a thing that fans debate and can engage in. And if someone along the line says, hey, we should have done that, I don't. We're just glad that we're doing it for ourselves, and if it happens in reality, that's super.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking at the list, and I'm just thinking, okay, there's a couple folks on here. They're locks. They should just get automatic induction. And, of course, Joe Paterno's at the top of that list.
Yep.
He should be a lock.
Yep. No, I would. I'd be surprised if they aren't, right?
So, if I can say, all right, you, on your website, you got the list of names. Okay, there they are. And again, I knew all the names, but there are some people like Gene Whetstone. Who's that? Maybe a little.
Yeah, and we talked about
like
that.
A bio something?
Right, and we probably maybe some links. Like, there's some ways to improve the process. So we'll see. Because that was the thing with class. The students didn't know, right? And that was their assignment, was to give me a bio. And I think for Darian and I, there's a bias that we kind of know who they are. And I think we think our audience probably knows for the most part. But also, to your point, maybe not. So we'll see.
And probably people know, this is sad to say, but it's true, they know the male athletes better than they know the female athletes.
Some of them. In the past 20 years or so, maybe that's changed.
Yeah.
Susie was the best. Susie might have been the most well-known athlete on campus at that time because the wrestlers weren't super strong. But, and as much as we've invested at Penn State, not we there, invested in women's sport and done that, I think it's maybe better here than some other places. But I don't. There's some people who probably only know some of the guys.
Yeah, but I think I think here, I think back to, like, women's volleyball, like, their star players are pretty well known on campus, and I think even even the general Penn State fans that are maybe don't follow those sports, it's like, well, yeah, but I'm certainly familiar with, you know, Megan.
Well, I mean, even Shar, right, who was an Olympian as a student, right? Like,
yeah.
That's somebody that might fall through the cracks, and people might look at her as a coach, but she was an Olympian until they said they weren't going to the Olympics.
Well,
she's coached forever.
And one of the things I think, right, with the parameters on this, which I think is interesting, because I think Franco's on the list, right?
But probably more so for...
Right.
Than those, yes.
But
right.
It's supposed to be for their Penn State careers
right.
only that they're being
recognized. Right, right, right.
Which I think is interesting.
Yeah, I meant Shar was good enough to be in the Olympics.
No.
And Jack Ham may have come back on the list because of... the broadcasting career for 2.5 decades. Not
yeah.
that he wasn't good, but it certainly doesn't hurt
well,
him in terms
and this
of Penn
State. Is, so this is, I think, just one of the interesting discussion points. Because like with the Center County Sports Hall of Fame, we have there are contributors. So not necessarily coaches or athletes, but people who have spent decades making major contributions to sports here in this area, and I'm thinking particularly here, although I could name about five other people very quickly, but like Spider Caldwell would be, you ask any, I mean, Goon Conlon I do the shows with on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you ask him what he thinks of when he thinks of Penn State football, Joe Paterno 1, Spider Caldwell's 2. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. with that, so... There's also, I mean, I think we think of coaches and athletes, and understandably and rightfully so, but, man, there are a lot of people. You go through some of the athletic directors that we've had, but even other administrators, Mary Jo Haverbeck and the impact she made, and I'm going to start... There are
You're
going to
forget
people.
Someone. See,
yes.
That's the problem.
Alan Perry. But, there are... You look at the number of people who have had... impacts, like lasting impacts on lives through Penn State athletics, not coaches or athletes. And it, I mean, again, this list is, the issue is going to be there's like, again, hundreds that, like, well, yeah, that's an obvious automatic induction there. And so trying to narrow it down is, again, a fun exercise, but it's like, oh, man, how could you leave off? And you're going to be able to name 30 to 50 people. Like, well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But, again, we're narrowing it down to 15.
Right, and I think that's my job. And Darian's the tech guy, whatever else. I'll be the complaint department, right?
Yeah.
Like, and build a thick skin that my daughters have, you know, taken the ego away through the years and whatever else. And be just like, oh, yeah, okay, well, sorry, we'll get that fixed, so...
Yeah. And, like, I think Ann Carr is not on the list,
no.
right? And so, and again, I'm not, this is the point, is you can start going through, it's just, and when you look at the impact of athletes after they leave Penn State, and I have no problem with the parameters that are put on, but look at the number of people who have gone on and had, like Mary Ellen Clark, have had wild success above and beyond their Penn State careers, and were successful in their Penn State careers. But then, you know, Franco Harris, I think, again, a good running back at Penn State. I think most would tell you Lydell Mitchell was the better running back in college of the two. But obviously, I mean, the fame that he brought to the university and the contributions above and beyond his athletic career. But again, you can do that with countless individuals.
No, and that's,
here.
That's
and
the
again,
part.
It's fun.
It's. I don't know that we thought it was going to have those many nuances when we first started talking about it. And then you start doing it, like, oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like pushing dominoes, right? If you do this, that's going to happen, right? Well, so we'll see. I mean, we're feeling it out. Nobody else has done it. So we're okay being the guinea pigs and having a little bit of fun, and we'll adjust and adapt. And I'm sure we visit it next year too, as well. And I don't have any doubt Darian's making – he's pretty cool and pretty creative. Like, I think that it'll be neat to see what he does when we're done with it and share it online too.
All right. Steve, the Ironhead is not on the list.
He's still active.
We
have an active enough.
So
Ham's an active enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll go with
all
that.
Because right. What was it, 38
not, he's
years?
He's already in a couple of
38 years or something that one person claimed you've been announcing wrestling? Or
yeah, he added a few
number.
Years there. But
he's in a couple Hall of Fames already, too. So, you know, I don't want to give him too many things in the mantle ahead of time.
Yeah, his head won't fit through the door.
That's right.
Oh, there you go. All right, now real quick, Steve, where can people find this survey?
StuffSummerSays.com. STUFFSOMERS. SummerSays.com, StuffSummerSays.com, or look for Steve Samso on social medias. I've shared it out there. Vote, tell a friend, tell us we're wrong, kindly. Tell us we're right, kindly, and we'll have fun with it.
And the voting goes through the end of the month.
It goes through the end. It goes through Monday, March 31st.
Yep.
I assume Darian will tally up stuff on August 7th or so. We'll give us a week to get it cleaned up, get some stuff out there, and announce it and roll it out. Maybe it'll be another week, depending on how much he does with the website, but we'll try to make it sound impressive and exciting when we roll it out.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's fun to think about. The thing I liked just reading through is again, not in a critical way, but it's like you start thinking about the people that aren't on the list that you're like, man, that person should be. And then, again, I started thinking about all of the different individuals, again, not even coaches and athletes, and it's like you start to understand how impressive the historical impact of, again, so many individuals that have been associated with Penn State athletics. And again, just, I have read and heard about, like, Charlie Spidell and, again, Barney Ewell and those individuals. But even, I started covering Penn State really in 88, but following them in the late 70s. And just, like, the people that I know and have gotten to meet and that have, it's like, man, like, it is impressive. The list of individuals, not just sporting accomplishments, but just life accomplishments.
Right, and they were lifelong. They were people who invested in it, right? And they made it their life, which made them
big
special.
Time.
And it was disappointing. I mean, Lou lived out by us for a while in Stormstown, and when he died, like, the night before Darian and I rolled this out, like, we had been talking, and when we were rolling it out, it was just, because I was so excited to have him talking about it. I'm like, oh, we're going to get Lou, we'll do this. And it was just, it was kind of creepy weird that, like, he died the day before we rolled it out, and it was a bummer. I would have loved to have him share his expertise in this.
Yes. No, and expertise he certainly could provide.
And he would be glad to share it, too, which is
absolutely
the best part about Lou.
Yes, indeed.
All right, last question for me. Now, you know this, right? When you announce the winners next month, there's going to be people that are going to argue with you.
Oh, yeah. As long as they don't call us too many bad names.
I think it's going to be unanimous that all 15 will be.
It'll
be happy. I can't imagine there'll be any.
I am the proud father of two strong, smart young women, and my wife is the smartest person I know. We have not done anything in my house my way in years. Like, they'll say it's not a big deal, and I'm like, well, if it's not a big deal, why can't we do it my way? So I am expecting.
I thought I was the only one.
I'm expecting pushback, but I will hopefully embrace it, and people will say, hey, this is how you can improve it. Make sure they're on the list next year without calling us too many bad names.
There you go. Okay. Well, hey, good luck.
Yeah, have fun with
it. Stay out of trouble, all right? When the announcement comes, obviously send it our way.
We'll let you know.
And we'll have horns and trumpets and hoopla and whatever, So, cool. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll see what other trouble we can get into. That won't be very hard because there's plenty of things floating around out there. Stuff Summers Says, StuffSomers.
Yep.
Not spring, fall, Summers. No. StuffSomersSays.com. Go there now. All right. Deadline is Monday. Don't waste time. No arguing. All right. We will come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200, 25 horsepower, with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State Knowledge. Get up and get going.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line once again open at 814-954-7266. If you would like to join the program this morning.
That was quick.
And weigh in on, potato chips, Penn State Hall of Fame, or anything else out there.
Oh, we have lots more.
On this Wednesday. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, I'm live again. Hey, this is a big topic. Penn State and sports and recognition of excellence. So what a lot of folks may not know, I want to just throw this out there to begin with. This controversy between the marriage of academics and sports and how sports sometimes gets corrupted by betting, it goes back centuries. But Penn State, I think they were early on to marry academics and sports because of, I don't think we were originally connected with the land grant because we had that high school period before it. But once you're in the land grant, you have the ROTC programs. You're training people, you know, for perhaps a military career. So they have a whole different outlook between academics and sports. But staying with the military, there's a thing called a unit recognition. I know the Congressional Medal of Honor recipients, we usually look at the individual, but there are group awards. So if you're kind of in a conundrum, you got all these folks, you're not quite sure how to recognize them, you could maybe, you know, take whole groups of people. As a group, they were very instrumental in, you know, initiating, let's say, a particular sport or, you know, doing something very phenomenal. I'll just throw that out there. Maybe you can do some group recognition.
Well, I mean, this vote that Steve was talking about, he said right off the bat, this is an unofficial Penn State Sports Hall of Fame. All right, this is not some... I said, hey, this belongs in the old sports museum, and I still think it should, you know? What the heck? You know, hopefully a lot of people vote, or either have voted, or they vote by Monday. I mean, yeah, you look at this list of names, it's like, who am I supposed to pick here? They're all great, you know? Now, again, Joe Paterno should be a lock. Just put him in. Come on. And if Joe Paterno isn't unanimous, and I know why, for all the wrong reasons, that'll make me shake my head. Groups of folks? Okay, maybe.
But... Well, what I'm saying is where they're supporting characters with Joe. You know, if you took the supporting characters out, would Joe be Joe? So I don't know that much about the history. But I do find that it's interesting the military does recognize groups and individuals. So
okay.
Just throwing it out there as an idea going forward because it is, you know, like the fellow said, what do you got? Almost 200 years of history here and you're just playing catch up now. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, take care, guys.
Hey, appreciate your call.
Thanks. And I know Steve listens, so Steve, there's an idea. I don't know. Again, they're just starting this. And Steve mentioned that they're going to go through this and there will be complaints. Somebody will, come on. We're human. There will be complaints. So they do this again next year. It'll be probably slightly different or some such thing. That's fine. 814-954-7266. Again, open line time until 10 o'clock. Yeah, we had fun last hour. Favorite potato chip, or not favorite, best potato chip. All right. Mr. Ironhead said his favorite potato chip is Middlesworth Barbecue.
Well, no, the best potato chip.
Oh, that's the best potato chip.
Middlesworth Barbecue.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So, folks, we mentioned last hour a New York Times group of experts and taste testers.
Now, they did what they could. Story. They're not, you know, obviously quite in the know, but they did the best they could.
All right, one sports note. The Hodge Award, the top wrestler. Come on. How is that not Carter Strachey? Come on.
So the debate, listen, I think it will end up being Carter Strachey. I will say Wyatt Hendrickson's win over Gable Steveson is still resounding through the college wrestling world. And Hendrickson won, he was the most dominant wrestler in college wrestling this season. They keep the statistic, and he averaged over a Tech fall per match, even through the NCAAs. So there is a strong case to be made there. Over the years, while it is an annual award and it is supposed to be for that season, they clearly have recognized career accomplishments with the award, and I think largely it has been understood. Truthfully, I think all three of the finalists have a very strong case to make, and you can provide statistics or reasons for each of the three to be the winner. But yes, Carter Strachey was nearly as dominant. I think the fact, Wyatt Hendrickson's win over Gable Steveson is correctly and properly getting all kinds of accolades. But I'm telling you, Parker Kekhuizen, Carter Sturacci beat for the title at 184, might not have been Gable Steveson, but that dude's resume is also really impressive. Returning national champion, three-time finalist, five-time All-American, and all five times placing in the top three. I mean, he is, in his own right, one of the best wrestlers in this last five-year run. And so I think that win shouldn't be overlooked, despite Hendrickson's big win. Again, we'll see how it all shakes out. I certainly think Carter Sturacci should be the winner. I think he ultimately will be the winner. But I won't be shocked if Wyatt Hendrickson ends up winning it now, given the buzz and the interest surrounding him. And listen, he has the statistics to back it up. It's not like this was a one-trick pony. He went undefeated, dominated everybody he faced throughout the season. So we'll see.
Carter.
Yeah, that's
Mitchell can win next year.
Yeah,
a little bias there, folks.
He'll have some
a little bias.
He will have some competition within his own team next year. But
all right, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. 814-954-7266 if you'd like to join us. All right, I've been using this phrase, the age of disruption, because it's so true. Oh, my gosh. Let me start with this one. Now, Scott here, I'm from Penns Valley. There was an incident yesterday out in Penns Valley with schools. I saw the WTAJ story, although I have a little small beef with that story.
Oh.
Because if you find the story online, there was a threat written on a wall in one of the Penns Valley schools, apparently, and it was discovered early yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Now, when I saw the WTAJ story, it had like a picture, a slide or whatever, of the Penns Valley High School auditorium. This was not at the high school.
No.
It was across the street at the elementary intermediate school. Somebody scrawled something on a wall, and it was discovered early yesterday morning.
Well, they determine a non-specific threat.
Whatever the heck that means.
Yeah.
It was a threat. And there's protocols you have to follow. And so they stopped the school day over there, and they got all the kids out, took them across the street where they hung out, I guess, in the high school gym or auditorium or something for a couple of hours. Police have to come in, do what they do. I guess probably dogs were involved, the whole nine yards. It was determined, as is usually the case, some just an empty threat. And so by, I think, lunchtime yesterday, all the kids came back over to school, and they restarted their school day, and that was it. All right? This was not at Penns Valley High School. Now, maybe that's disturbing, because this means an elementary or intermediate school kid did this? That bothers me slightly. I mean, it bothers me anytime, but we're talking about sixth grade or under. Now, was this kid, you know, trying to pull a stunt? Was this a prank? Maybe. All right. Does some kid have a problem? Maybe. All right. But, again, the age of disruption, I just saw that story. I'm like, oh, boy. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That's not at the high school. It was across the street. It was, and I don't think an adult did it. So why is a younger kid doing this sort of thing? That bothers me a little bit. Like, okay, it's bad enough when it's at the high school level. Now it's going to be down at the elementary level? Oosh. Not good. Not good. All right, let's see. What else do we have? Again, the age of disruption. We're slightly off schedule, so we'll take a break here in a little bit. Did you see the story about the politician from France Okay. Politician from France is all bent out of shape. He wants the Statue of Liberty returned to France.
Wow.
Because he's not happy, I guess, with Donald Trump. Send back the Statue of Liberty, which, by the way, has been in New York Harbor for like 140 years.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to do that. But the age of disruption. Let's take a call.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Send that piece of hunk of junk French trash back. First of all, I've said for years, replace the torch with a .38 special, and whatever she's holding in her hand, that satanic female, replace that with the Declaration of Independence. However, I called because the answer to your question is really easy. I blame it like I blamed everything since I was 13 years old, because I'm smart and I read, on Democrats. It's an evil party. What's the first thing they do when they don't get their way? They burn down buildings, they burn down businesses, they kill cops, and now they're attacking Teslas. These people, see, it was less Scott and Jeff in the 70s and 80s, because they were in mental institutions. But the Supreme Court ruled if you know who the president is and you know your name, you can be released. So a lot of these blue-haired slobs that have no cognitive abilities. Their only reaction is emotional. So, like, kids with tantrums. And by the way, I blame grandparents right now. I blame the 60s and 50s generation. They are all the problems for what we're dealing with right now. The same grandma that believed in free love, she's in her 70s now, and grandpa. They started this mess. They started it. It's their fault. And I told my dad when I was a teenager, I have to fix the mess your generation started for the rest of my life. I got to spend the rest of my life fixing your Marxist mess. I would tell him that. And I would tell my teachers that too. Because God gave me ability of discernment to see who's full of crap and who's telling the truth. And let me ask you this. What does the Democrat Party propose and what do they do when they don't get their way? Let's talk about the last 5 years. Just tell me.
Well, they were in power for most of the last 5 years.
No, I'm saying, what do they do when they don't get their way? Even if they're in power, what do? They burn down cities. They overturn cars. Hell, even in sports, they can't win. Look at Democrat cities. All these major cities are run by Democrats. You know, a friend of mine was Black Lives Matter. She's brilliant, but she's now a conservative. Because one thing I pointed out to her about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever, I said, who runs all the major cities? Black cops, black police, black sheriff, black. And I'm not a racist. I hate everybody. But the point is, she said, you're right. I said, I know I'm right. What are you protesting? Your people, if you claim to be your people, I think we're all one people. I don't judge based on skin pigmentation or even your sexual orientation. I don't give a damn who you're sleeping with. I judge based on behavior. I said, all of what you claim are your people, because you hate whites, are doing this in the cities. I know people are afraid to point this out. And one thing I love about me, Scott, is most people don't like me because I tell the truth. Family members, people. My wife hasn't talked to me. She put a pair of pants on, and she said, what do you think? I said, you look like a clown. They had stripes on them.
Oh.
And she didn't talk to me. And then the other day she was being pious because she's a Southerner. And I said, do me a favor. It's Sunday. Go to church because you wear your Christianity on your sleeve. It'll make you feel good like the rest of you Southern hypocrites. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
But it may be harsh, but tell me where I'm wrong. And I'll listen on the radio because I love you guys.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call. Let's take a break right now to think about this.
Alrighty.
All right. Again, that particular caller, if you're a longtime listener, you know him. We'd love some calls from other directions. That's why we call it Open Line. And we let you talk. All right? If you've noticed that, too. 814-954-7266. Don't call right now. We're going into a break. When we come back, we'll be waiting for your call and have some interesting comments when we return.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling.
It's the Fox.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutchen has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
Let's talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. But then again, you already knew that. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. Regards to a previous caller. Wow.
that's wow with an exclamation point.
One word.
Maybe
for
three
it, yeah.
exclamation
yeah.
points.
Maybe two or three exclamation
yeah.
points.
Yeah,
as,
fair.
As Elaine Bettis would say. but anyhow, I missed the list of the Hall of Fame people because I did not have you turned on at the moment, but I heard reference to it. If it's not too much trouble, could you maybe at some point find a hole in the rest of the show to name them, number one? And number two, I remember regards to Carter Cerracci, I specifically remember Bo Nickel saying when he lost his first bout to that kid from Indiana, when they interviewed Bo after his match, they said something about Carter, you know, his reputation being what it was coming in and so on. And Bo's response was, I hope all you wrestling fans enjoyed that loss because it may be the last time you're going to see it. And I guess he had a pretty good idea of what Carter was all about.
Yeah, remarkable career and obviously a great finish to it out in Philly.
One other request from you, Jeff, and I don't know if this is possible or you can lay your hands on it. I missed Kale Sanderson's speech or whatever you want to call it when they interviewed him after the matches and stuff this past weekend. But does anybody have that archived or something? I'd really like to hear what he had to say.
Yeah, his press conference is, I think if you just Google Kale Sanderson after NCAAs, you can find it. I know Flo had it up. I think actually the CDT, it's floating around out there a bunch of places. And, you know, he talks about very proud of the team. They're looking forward to getting back to work this past Monday, they being the coaches. They love what they do, and you know, this doesn't change anything in terms of their approach, and they're going to go get ready now for, you know, the competitions coming up here on the freestyle circuit. And so they started Monday with, you know, preparations for that. And but, yeah, it's if you just Google Cale's comments after NCAAs, I think you'd be able to
In other words, what you're saying, Jeff, it's like what we expect. It was all about him.
Absolutely. Yes. There was a lot of, can you believe what I just accomplished? I am now closing in on Dan Gable. Gable, I'm coming for you. It was a lot of that.
None
of that.
The exact opposite.
That is true.
So in other words, I really don't have to listen to it. It's what we expected. It was all about him.
It was.
Okay, you guys have a great week.
No, but a lot of appreciation for the kids on this year's team. Thank you for the call. Phone line again open at 814-954-7266.
Now, if you want to do the Hall of Fame thing, we're not going to recite all the names because it's a long list. Just go to the website, which again is Stuff Summers Says. STUFF. Summers is SOMERS. That's a person's name. StuffSummersSays.com. And then look for the Hall of Fame information on there. It's a big long list of names.
It's a 41, 42
something. It's a long
names
list.
And again, you're asked to vote for 15 or up to 15. And just so we're clear, and voting ends again on Monday, end of the month here, March 31st. Just so we're clear, and Steve was clear on this, but there is not a Penn State Sports Hall of Fame. This is like a fun exercise. If there were, what would you think? And these are the names that they came up with, and through voting, again, they got down to this list, and then 15. But this is like a hypothetical exercise here. A fun one, a good one, but I just want to make sure we're clear that there isn't actually, this isn't Penn State doing this. This isn't there's not an actual Hall of Fame here for Penn State. No. I just want to make sure folks are clear on that.
Now, Steve has helped us out with some guests, which we appreciate. He's a teacher or instructor at the College of Communications, and if you will, this is an experiment. He's working with students like, okay, let's do this, like it's a real-world project, which is cool. I mean, there's teachable moments. All right. And again, the Belisario College of Communications, those guys are great. They are phenomenal over there. So, yeah, this isn't official anything. We're having fun. He's still going to get complaints after they announce the winners.
Undoubtedly.
Get ready, all right? And they'll handle it. That's perfectly fine. Age of Disruption, all right? Yeah. If you follow news, and we hope you do, I mean, these people, whoever the heck they
are. But we don't blame you if you don't.
I would understand that point of view, okay? Uh-huh. People out across the country setting fires to Tesla vehicles they should be arrested and thrown in jail. I hope they find them because this is stupid, all right? You can hate Elon Musk all you want, and some people do. But these Teslas, now, you're either, there's fires at Tesla dealerships. Well, the Tesla dealers got nothing to do with any of this. Meanwhile, they just lost a lot of inventory because of idiots. Meanwhile, just regular people, they happen to buy a Tesla. If it's a cyber truck or one of their, fancy cars, I see them around State College all the time. All right, that's fine. People bought a Tesla. They want an electric car. Okay, fine. You go and deface their car. They've got nothing to do with this. You're not striking back at Elon Musk by defacing Tesla vehicles. That's stupid. Stupid. All right, I hate using that term, but this is the one that fits. Stupid. Now, thankfully, that hasn't happened. Now, there's no Tesla dealership in our immediate neighborhood, is there? No, there isn't one.
Don't think so.
You've got to go to Harrisburg or go to some other place, Pittsburgh or whatever. But it's just, I have to begrudgingly agree with that earlier caller on at least one thing. Yes, this rage usually on the political left of people setting fires to things and destroying things does no good except make you look bad. Why do you want to do that? Well, because I'm angry. No, no excuse. I hope now, you know, I've seen some webcam shots and some news reports of people defacing cars or beating on people's Tesla vehicles when they're in the vehicle. Like, you know, I saw something at a New Orleans Mardi Gras parade.
These same people, by the way,
just dumb
months ago were encouraging all of these folks to buy Teslas. We gotta save the planet.
Electric
car. You gotta buy the Teslas. You bought a Tesla. You despicable.
It's just it's pointless.
You're a moron.
Common sense, folks.
God bless you, but you're a moron.
This is just pointless. Why are you doing this? Now, thankfully, again, it's not happening here.
As with everything, there is a silver lining, and at least now we know, especially with some of these politicians, that. Even you knew the climate change BS was exactly that, BS. And all of your Tesla was virtue signaling, which many of us suspected. But you can't say that, man, I'm buying a Tesla to save the planet. And then when Elon Musk does something you don't like, you get rid of your Tesla and you buy a gas-guzzling pickup truck. Okay, well, now you've at least shown, which, again, silver lining, but it's like, okay, now we know, you know, that this was all a scam. That this climate BS, I'm watching a little bit of the hearings yesterday, and, you know, how come climate change isn't in there as one of the existential threats? Because it's not an existential threat, and we've got real ones that we have to worry about right now.
Okay.
But this is the this is the world we're living in.
Setting fires to vehicles does no good. None. Zero. If anything, it makes the situation worse. Why do you want to do that? That makes no sense. Now, let's flip the coin, all right? The age of disruption. And national media, especially the news channels, are just running wild with this story about some Trump administration officials getting on a group chat on an allegedly secure channel called Signal. I've heard of Signal. I don't do that. Secure channel means it's encrypted. So it's supposed to mean people can't break in somehow in this encrypted channel. Now, I've seen one or two stories like, okay, can Signal really do that? You know, because are there some bad foreign actors out there that find ways to break the unbreakable? I'm sure they're trying. They've probably always been trying. But a bunch of, you know, top officials get together to discuss, this is a texting thing now, to discuss, okay, these Houthis in Yemen, along the Red Sea, that have been harassing shipping through the Red Sea for quite a while now, and how do we put a stop to this? And recently, we, our forces, you know, dropped some bombs and did some attacking and so on. Not a war situation, but much more of a punch in the nose, like, knock it off, Houthis, all right? It's not just our shipping, it's lots of different innocent country shipping going up and down the Red Sea. And, you know, these guys are just taking shots, firing rockets and all this stuff at these ships and so on. How do you stop this stuff? Well, you get a bunch of, you know, official people on a text and they're, you know, doing this stuff. And somehow a reporter for The Atlantic was included in this group. Now, I've mentioned them before. I like The Atlantic. The Atlantic has some really good stuff, all right? Very thought-provoking stuff. Very good writing. Any story that is remotely political, they go left every single time. Trump is the Antichrist. Republicans can't be trusted. I mean, it's consistent. Okay, fine. I mean, if the Atlantic's their publication, they can go in any direction they want. But you've got a group of, if you will, Republican leaders, all right, Trump administration people. How did this guy somehow get included in this group? I mean, I could understand, I wouldn't understand, because the reporter should never be in this stuff, that, you know, somebody from Fox News is put in, or somebody from the Washington Examiner, which is a conservative newspaper in D.C. Okay, somehow they get included in there, or Newsmax, which is another conservative TV channel, that somehow they get in there. The Atlantic is the exact opposite. And so now this reporter from the Atlantic is starting to report, well, here's what I saw on this group text. Here's what this person said. Here's what this person said. Now, he's a reporter, and he was somehow included in this thing. Of course he's going to report on it. I mean, that, all right. Now, allegedly, the reporter said, and, you know, I held back some things because they could have been very sensitive and could have maybe, you know, gotten some military people, you know, killed or something like that if I had reported everything I saw, which I assume he's telling the truth on that, okay? But, I mean, CNN and MSNBC are running wild with this one. Fox News, on the other side, is playing prevent defense right now, trying to, well, it's not that bad, blah, 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 back and forth, which is great viewing, but it's also the age of disruption. Like, oh, for goodness sakes, could you get it right? Let's take a call here.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
I know you're not supposed to call back twice, but I haven't called, but
this
is important. Okay. I've had some ex-CIA friends. I'll hardly talk about anything. But one did mention something called tickling. The term is called tickling. I believe it was leaked purposely to let them know what we're up to, so they back down. They do this all the time.
Wait, who's they? Who's they?
Which you call the deep state or the government, or the people that create wars and fight wars. The term is called tickling, where they pretend it's secure, knowing it's going to be released to get a particular reaction. Now, we have to remember these Houthis, and not all Muslims are like this. It's maybe 0.1%. They're radical. They can date back to the Barbary Pirates when Jefferson built 25 warships, Thomas Jefferson in 1812, to kill these pirates. And they've always gone on the high seas. They take hostages primarily to get money to further their causes, to further their terrorism. And remember, they're working with Iran. So these are not nice people.
No.
Yemen is one of the worst countries in the world. They foster terrorism. They embrace terrorists. The government, to me, is a terrorist government. But don't believe this thing was leaked accidentally, especially to the Atlantic. I believe it was tickling. That's just my opinion, but I just wanted to share that. All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. We'll take a break in a moment. Yeah, I mean, as I've examined this story over the last day or two, again, the great mystery is, why was this guy included?
And how was this guy included?
That one of these guys is inept with technology and they have some connection with this dude and somehow he's in? That's where the mystery lies on that story.
Yeah.
Where, how did this guy get involved? He's the furthest guy they should have had. If it was intentional, well, it's kind of unique.
Except that they carried out the plans in this case.
Okay.
So I don't...
We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming seasons. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday. Jeff and Scott, phone line is open and available for your use, 814-954-7266.
All right, breaking news.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's a familiar refrain these days. There's one outlet saying The Atlantic is publishing the transcript of this group chat. Now, that's not surprising at all. In other words, the whole whoosh, here they all are. And, of course, there are some Democrats in D.C. There should be resignations and all this sort of thing. And they're truly, some of these people are really going after Pete Hegseth, who is the new defense secretary. I don't think he's at fault. He thought he was on a secure channel, and he shared some information with the other people on the channel. And well, one of them was this reporter guy from a left-wing publication, however he got on the list. That's what I'd like to know. How did that guy get on the list? You know, Pete Hegseth.
And a couple of the stories, I think including the one in The Atlantic, says he was invited, which I presume means he accepted, which there's a couple of things. I'm just wondering, how did he get invited? They've been talking, and it has happened to just about all of us where, you know, at least it's happened to me several times where I text somebody or include somebody. It's like, hey, we're meeting up at 7 tonight at, for drinks. And then I get text from my cousin and boss. It's like, well, I'd love to, but what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, I sent it to the wrong. Sorry about that. And so, I mean, that happens. But with this, this just seems bizarre that one, you wouldn't be maybe a little extra careful on who you're inviting. The other thing, and I listen, this is way out of my wheelhouse, so I don't know. I'm listening to all of this, but I'm listening to the Trump group here, and They are all saying this isn't classified information. And I don't know. I'll rely on others to determine that. But my question is, if the time and the weapons and the way we're going about an attack, if that isn't classified, what the hell are we classifying? Like, that doesn't seem...
Yeah.
Why... And I'm not arguing one way or the other. It's just, from the outside looking in, it's like, man, I want the information on when, how, where we're attacking an enemy. I want that to be classified. Like,
sure. Makes sense.
And, yeah. You know, to the earlier caller, I would love to buy into, well, yeah, man, they're putting misinformation out and trying to do a deke here to get the other side. This is the plan that they followed through. Like
yeah, they did it. This doesn't
compute that they were getting this out there to fool them. Yeah, fooled you. We did exactly what we were saying we were going to do. This just
weird.
This is not adding up on either side. Like this is just a bizarre case. And it does feel this is somebody here really dropped the ball. And maybe multiple people. But again, I'm not even arguing one way or the other whether this is classified. I have no idea. But again, if we're not trying to keep secret and classified the details of an attack on our enemy, what is it that we're classifying these days? That seems like, if you're asking me, all right, knucklehead who's never been anywhere near any of this stuff, doesn't know what he's talking about, but if you what sort of information do you think we should keep classified as a government? I would start with, let's not let people know when and where we're attacking the enemy and our plans for that attack. That is like where I would start with, let's keep that classified information. Right? I don't know. This is just very, very
bizarre.
This
is politicians and bureaucrats being politicians and bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard was in a congressional hearing yesterday where she said, there's no classified information shared. I'm like, Tulsi, that's a lie. Come on.
Yeah, yes, it was. And if it's not a lie, why would this information be classified? Yeah. Like, if you are telling the truth... Again, what is it that you're providing as classified information then? Like, this doesn't make any sense
What did Joe Biden have in his garage? Remember those stories from a while back? What did Joe Biden, he had classified files. Well, what's classified? And then the argument starts.
Yeah.
Like, okay, whatever. Mike Waltz is the National Security Advisor. Now, he's taken responsibility for this situation.
But he says he doesn't know.
Know this guy.
But he admits that he's the one that invited him.
Well,
like, how are you?
Somebody had to take the fall.
Right, but, somehow we've got to get to, Jeffrey Goldberg would know, right, if... Who invited him? Like when I get a text inviting me to a group, it says,
you would think,
hey, Scott has invited you. Do you accept this?
You would think, yeah.
So he's releasing all of the information about this. I don't think he has confirmed whether it was Waltz, or if he has, I missed it.
Well, we'll see.
I will admit, but I don't think he has said specifically, like he says he was included in this, but again, how was he included in this?
Folks, there's an official term here. You probably have heard it. CYA. Know what that stands for? CYA. We got a bunch of folks in D.C. doing the CYA right now. And yes, somebody's lying. So I don't know
better off. This is just me, and again, I'm never going to be anywhere near. We can be grateful as a nation. I'll never be anywhere near this type of secretive defense type of information. But again, from the outside looking in, I think you'd be better off saying, yep, man, this was a bad blunder.
Just admit it. Tell
yes,
the truth.
And then tell move the on. We are going to make sure nothing like this ever happens again. And we can debate whether or not somebody should be let go or not. But I think you're better off just biting the bullet, so to speak.
Just tell the truth.
Folks, have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.